Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Kelly Harris. I'd like to welcome you all for calling in and downloading this program later, Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus Ministry. Turn with me now to Matthew, the 12th chapter. I will begin our verse 33 through 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of its heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word man may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For your word you will be justified, and your word will be condemned. Wow, those are really tough words Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, isn't it? Now, remember last week, when we were talking in our lesson, basically what the Apostle Paul was teaching was for people in the church shouldn't feel that they're in bondage of sin again, but they should walk in Christ, walk in the Spirit, correct? Pardon me. So basically what Jesus is basically saying the same thing, as we know that the Holy Spirit was put Paul in when he wrote to the Galatians, but a lot earlier than this, here's Jesus talking to a Pharisee to try to make himself up to be higher than everyone because they believe, because of their original religious fold, that they have the answer. Well, no, they don't, because they used religion to make themselves feel pious. And the Lord doesn't like that, because when you use religion, it can actually turn people away from the Lord. And this can happen in the church as well. In fact, I know of someone who is a cousin of mine. He was trying to get into the ministry, and he was told to go to the district superintendent because he was meeting with another Methodist pastor at the time. And so he met with the district superintendent, and the words the district superintendent said to him hurt him. Basically, he chased him away from ministry because the words he said made him feel terrible. And little did he know, I heard afterwards that the pastor and the district superintendent set him up to make him feel that way because they didn't think he was pastor material. Well, what is pastor material anyway? I could say one thing, that the Pharisees didn't think Jesus was pastor material, and here he was, the Son of God, God here on the earth, right? And these religious people dared to say he wasn't pastor material, trying to deny his divinity. Again, my friend, when we use religion that way, we could hurt somebody. As I told the story about my cousin, he was hurt. And you know what? Words can hurt people. And you better watch what you say. Do not let religion be a part of the way you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, because when you do that, the religion can actually hurt somebody. Because in your religious thought, you think whatever you're doing is right. You have your checklist saying, well, I did this, I did this, I did this, I must be holy. Well, the whole thing is, my friend, if someone doesn't live by your checklist, and you judge somebody by how the way they look, and you say they can't be this or they can't be that within the church. Who made you judge? And you, and by doing that, you could chase them away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus even said right over here, the words you say will be brought up against you on judgment day. And you may think, well, no, it won't, because I walk in my pious way. Wrong. Every word you say will be brought up. This goes for people who walk in righteousness as well. So you better watch what you say to people and not turn them away from the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not want to be like Jesus would call a brood of vipers. Because if you act like a brood of vipers, that's how Jesus looks at you, as a brood of vipers. He do not turn people away from the Lord. Also, again, a tree is known by its fruit. What's he mean by that? Basically, he's telling you and I, again, if we walk with bad fruit, if we have this idea that we are still a sinner, as we go to church, we are showing our bad fruit. But I will also say, people who walk in the pious attitude that fall away from Christ Jesus on purpose because they don't think they're worthy enough to step foot in the church, or much less preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, they're showing bad fruit as well. Bad fruit right there means that they are not walking with the Lord. Religion has confronted them. They believe what their religion tells them, what they believe. And for them, religion makes sense. But the Lord is not a religion. He is our Father. He is our King. He is our Master. He is our High Priest. He became man incarnate to die for our sins so you and I could live. There's no excuse for anyone who says they're a believer in Jesus Christ to chase anyone away from church. Chase anyone away from the Lord Jesus Christ, or declare you're not fit to preach the gospel. You're not fit to go out there to evangelize. You're not fit to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are you to do that? Who told you to do that? Yourself? Because your nose is stuck up in the air like a snob, and you think you're better than the people who you're supposed to be bringing into your congregation. Then you complain that your congregation's not doing so well because no one's coming to your church. Why is no one coming to your church? Why is your church dying? Well, perhaps you don't have the Holy Spirit living within the church. You as a pastor don't have the fire of a Holy Spirit living within you, so here you are, not bringing, not showing the love that Christ gives, not teaching what Christ wants you to teach. Instead, you give the people in your congregation a watered-down version, which has nothing to do with what Jesus Christ came to do. In fact, many of you would not have even read this verse in Matthew chapter 12 because you'd be afraid that someone might be saying, well, I'm offended by that. Get on to the good stuff. When Jesus said, go and sin no more and I can give you. And Jesus did say that. But also, he holds us all accountable for what we do. Remember, when the Pharisees were going after the people whom Jesus saved when he walked upon the earth, the Pharisees still considered them these people sinners. Why? Because in their, when they got stuck in their religious beliefs, these people still were sinners according to their religion. But according to Jesus, the Lord did not see them as sinners no more, but saved. They are now saved. God has forgiven them of their sins. And when we start fooling around with that and try to judge about who is saved and who is not saved, we fall into the trap of religion. And many denominations do go into this. If Many denominations who are Christian will agree that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, but many denominations will deny your salvation if you're not a part of their denomination. Where is that in the Scripture? There's nothing about that in the Scripture. When you come to Christ Jesus and you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, you are saved. You live according to what Christ, how Christ wants you to live. Live that way. Don't be religious. Be a child of God. Be like Christ upon the earth. Show people what a true child of God is, how they live. And you can do it without being pious and pointing out things because, hey, you were once a sinner yourself. But show them the love. That's all they need to know. God will do the rest. God will convict them once they accept Him as their Savior, when the Holy Spirit rushes right into them. And God doesn't, when He convicts, He doesn't do it through being nasty, saying, you're a disgusting sinner. No, He doesn't. He welcomes you home. Jesus, when He told the story about the prodigal son, the story was the father was God, and the prodigal son was you and I. We are the prodigal son. And when we came home and discovered that He, Jesus, is Lord, God opened His arms like the father in the story with His son and brought us to His family. So yes, the Lord Jesus Christ brings us in so we may be saved. And being brought in, we are part of the family of God, and we know by this conviction we don't want to go back to the old sin no more, and we do not want to sin. But many of you in those different denominations, right now you are agreeing with me, but one thing you do not agree with me is that you're saying your denomination is the only key to get to heaven. Wrong. Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. Your denomination or whatever you call yourself has nothing to do with you going into heaven. Christ Jesus is the way you're going to get into heaven. And for my Catholic friends, praying to saints or to the Virgin Mary is not going to get you into heaven. You could show great love for Mary, and that is fine if you love Mary, and if you want to show respect to Mary, that is fine too. But the Virgin Mary cannot get you into heaven either because she did not die for your sin, but Christ Jesus did. I know the Catholics, many of them will tell you and I that all are lost unless you're not a Catholic because you're not part of the so-called religion or original church. The Baptists will tell you basically the same, that really the apostles were really Baptists, and so therefore, if you don't follow their lead, you're not truly saved. And then you go on to other denominations who will tell you it's almost the same thing. But I'll tell you this. When you are a child of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a child of God, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, no more do you have to, or you're separated from Him. You don't have to worry, you say, am I part of the denomination, the right one? Am I going to go to hell because I'm in the wrong denomination? No, as long as you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going into heaven. Now, will a Baptist go to heaven? Yes. Will a Catholic go to heaven? Yes. Will a United Methodist go to heaven? But what I'm saying is, do not put your denomination over Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the one who gets us into heaven once we accept Him. And here's another thing we need to read too, my friend. Let me see. We may have to go back just a little further. All right, turn with me to verse 31 of the same chapter 12 of Matthew. Therefore I say to you, every sin, blasphemy, will be forgiven. But blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven, man. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in the age or in the age to come. And these are hard words of Jesus spoke right here. We don't hear that in the church no more, and I'm not saying Jesus is saying, yeah, you're not going to go to heaven because you blasphemed against the Spirit. I'm happy about that. No, Jesus doesn't want you to blaspheme against the Spirit. And the reason why you'll be forgiven if you blaspheme against the Son of Man is because he saved you from your sin. Thing of it is, what does it mean when he says blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, you'll not be forgiven? I take it up as someone who is not saved when they die. And at the last moment, they do a blaspheming. That's a basically a blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, wouldn't you say? That you don't accept Christ Jesus as your Savior at that end. And that's what I believe right there. And the fact of it is, Christ doesn't want you and I to be separated from him. He wants you and I to come to him. So do not add your religion with your Christian walk. I say find yourself a church that has the Holy Spirit living within it. And you know about church and belong to it. It may be a Baptist church. It may be a Pentecostal church. It may be a Church of God church. Some with a God or a Methodist or a Catholic church. But what I am saying is, if you find the Holy Spirit living within that church, do not allow the denomination to be your centerpiece of following the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you start putting your religion right there, you will be chasing people away because you will deny someone coming to Jesus Christ. And frankly, your own words may chase them away from even wanting to come to Christ because you hold your religion more honorably than you do the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't do that. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be like him. Do not chase anyone away from him, because your words will be judged one day. Let's read further on in verse 38. And some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. And he said to them, An evil, adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights at the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise in judgment with this generation and preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear wisdom of Solomon, and indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. And right there, another thing you have to watch out for, people wanting signs. They want signs to follow Christ. They want signs for Jesus to prove himself to this day. But the fact of it is, if you're willing to come to Christ and you're asking for a sign, my friends, it just gives Jesus sense, an evil, adulterous generation. He's after a sign, but look at what happened when Jesus walked upon the earth. Jonah was in the belly of the great fish, and the Son of Man, who was greater than Jonah, was in 3 days in the grave until he rose. And we've seen this. Think of it is, my friend. You know that Christ is calling you in your heart. Why do you seek a sign? What sign? If he shows you a sign, would you follow him? Some of you probably would not, because of your own heart, because you want to stick with the world. You're making excuses why you want to follow him. because you don't want to give up things of the world that you your heart so desires. So give up those things. Let the Lord live within you. Once you have the Lord living within you, you know He's with you. And you feel His blessing. And you feel the gifts He gives you throughout your life. And if you follow the Lord, you don't have to ask for a sign. And many of my friends who say they are saved do not ask the Lord for a sign like the Pharisees did. You know better than that. If you have Jesus living within your heart and you feel it settling within Him, in you, do not ask Him for a sign. Because you know He can give you the blessing. It's already there. You don't have to ask for these stuff for a sign. You know you're going to get it. You know you're going to get your blessings because you didn't tempt the Lord for it. God's going to give it to you because He wants to give it to you. Amen? Amen. You don't have to say, Lord, show me a sign to prove that this is true or this is true or this is true. You should know the truth. If you don't understand, if you want to really talk to Him, you can do it through prayer or open up your Bible and read through your Bible, read through Scripture about what He wants you to know. You don't have to ask for a sign out there because it's right there before you. You know it already. You don't have to do that. You don't have to tempt the Lord your God for a sign. Believe and know. Understand. If you saw His miracles already that He's done for other people, and if you remember the miracle He did in your heart when you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior and you felt His fire burning in you, you already understand it. You don't have to go out and ask for a sign because He's already giving you the sign He needed for you to know. And you should believe and have faith that things will turn bright for you. Things and blessings will happen in your life. The Lord will never leave you. Remember this. When He promised His apostles, I will never leave you, why did they add that in the Scripture? Was it just for them? Of course not. It was for you and me as well. Even if you feel like you're falling away from Christ and you feel that urge in your heart about coming back, who's telling you to come on back but the Lord Jesus Christ? Why? Because He made that promise to you 2,000 years ago. I will never leave you until the end of the age. It means He's staying by you. So when bad things do happen in your life, remember the Lord Jesus Christ is with you. He is walking with you. And He will help you get through this terrible time in your life. Because in the end, we all meet Christ on the crossroads. And He's there to help us. Only thing you have to do is ask. Don't wonder in your self-pity and say, oh, woe is me. How am I going to get out of this? There is a way. Go to Him. Ask Jesus. Say, Jesus, this is too much for me. Help me to do, and He will help you because you asked of Him, not of Him. Remember, He said, anything you ask in His name, He will do it. And He will do it for you. Amen? Amen. So don't be a person who squanders their faith believing that your faith is weak. Oh, when you accept Jesus Christ, your faith is strong. Remember, Jesus said, the only thing you have to do is have a faith of a mustard seed. And you can move a mountain. Whatever mountain is in your way in your life, Jesus will remove that mountain for you. So don't be in despair or depressed. Just know that the Lord is with you and never let the enemy fool you into thinking that He's deserted you because one thing the Lord can never do is break a promise because He said, I will never leave you until the end of the age. He will never leave us. He will never leave us. So do not fret. Do not worry. Do not ponder and think that He will ever leave you. Don't fall away when you feel yourself backsliding because the enemy's trying to make you think you're less than you are. But we have that feeling about coming back. You know who's talking to you about coming back. It is the Lord through his Holy Spirit. And he promised not to leave you. Take his hand and take his yoke as he wanted you to, as he asked you to do. Take his yoke upon you and feel blessed, because things will get better in your life, because the blessings are there for him to give to you, because you are his child and he wants to give to you what a child of God deserves. So, my friend, remember, don't let religion carry you away from Christ. Don't let religion turn other people away from Christ. Be the child of God who you are. Be that child of God who brings everyone to Christ. Be a fisher of men and go out there and show the love of Christ to all men. Be out there and help your brothers and sisters grow in Christ. Do not chase them away through words that may affect them and may make them turn away from the Lord Christ, because they are only baby Christians when they come to Christ. And we have to, as children, help them grow so they'll be strong. So by the time they're strong in the spirit, nothing will ever be able to turn them away from Christ. So let's mold our little children out there who just come to Christ. And let's not chase them away by killing the spirit in them. Let's mold them and help them grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because their soul is just as important as your soul was when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. So help them and mold them and help them be strong in Christ by wearing the body of armor that Christ gives us, the spiritual armor we're supposed to be wearing. Wear that and be like Christ and live the way he wants you to live. And help your brothers and sisters out. Pray with them. Be with them. And help them when they ask. And do not tell someone they are not saved because they didn't come from their denomination. As long as they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and have been baptized by fire by the Holy Spirit, they are saved by the water, the baptism water of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know they are saved when they feel that fire within them. They are saved. So, my friend, don't chase anyone away because of a religious belief that your denomination teaches. Bring them into Christ, because the most important one we hold up high is not our denomination, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us not be of a people of vipers, but let us be the children that Jesus knows we can be for the Father in heaven. My friends, we're going to stop here for tonight, and we'll go on to another lesson another night. I'm glad you all were able to tune in tonight and feel the Lord's blessings upon you. I pray that you all will always follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember that Christ Jesus is there for you. He will never desert you, because he made that promise to us 2,000 years ago. He will always be with us. So feel happy and praise the Lord that Christ Jesus still reigns and will always reign within our hearts, within our minds. I say this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.